Have you or have anyone that you know actually applied this value-based business model to a project?
As far as I know, there are some public projects that have a value-based model. I don't know all the details. I do believe it's mostly based on timelines, but I just feel like we are thinking too small about it. Just think about if an architect helps the owner to cut energy costs on 50%, that's an immense value pool, right, that we can be tapping into.
And that's it.
And that creates a better world, by the way.
Absolutely.
So I just feel like we need to be thinking much bigger. We need to align those interests with what all the stakeholders require. And it cannot just be about timelines. I do believe they are part of the process. We need to think about the communities that live around us, the impact that development will have. We need to think about energy production, energy consumption. We need to think about embodied carbon. I mean, just on the embodied carbon, this is a really big challenge we have. The building industry, I think, is responsible for about 40% of the total emissions. And I just don't believe that the current business model serves that purpose. I don't believe we have the frameworks in place to accelerate that massive shift that we need, because we need to improve our subject matter expertise. Like, architects just need to relearn their way of working. They need to invest heavily on new tools. And where is all that money coming from? Like, we are sitting with such small margins. I just feel like if that is to become a reality, we need to rethink the way we are. We need to rethink our business models around those things.
And do you think then that we need to actually raise this? You say about kind of relearning the way that we do architecture. Do you think that we should kind of just leave the generation kind of go as it is, but then enforce this from a younger perspective? So anyone graduating from college or anyone coming into the industry that enforces this? Or do you think everyone should get involved with it?
Everyone should get involved with it. The real benefit of Forman is that we are enabling everyone, the common non-technical architect, to run real-time analysis on embodied carbon, sun, daylight. And if we believe that we are to create a better world and a more sustainable world, we need to make sure that everyone that is sitting with responsibilities in a project has access to that data. Because when we are collaborating, quite often we see the problem from our own perspective, from our own interests. Quite often it's really hard to understand all the trade-offs. And that's why I believe when we have real-time collaboration in a cloud solution, we can all sit together as a team and understand the complexity of the whole problem. Maybe as a real estate developer, I'm open to do a bigger investment in terms of building costs because I understand that will save me X amount of pounds in terms of energy. It will have a much better, much more positive impact in the community. So it's about those trade-offs. And those discussions, they need to be data-driven. And to be data-driven, everyone needs to have access to that data. Not only the young generation, which I believe will be, of course, a big driver of this conversation, but we need absolutely everyone, including the planning authorities, to have access to this technology so that we can enforce better outcomes.
That's great. But why now? You know, why did we not have this discussion 10 years ago? Why is it now? Is it that the technology has developed that much in the last 10 years that we are at that situation where we can involve everyone via the cloud?
Absolutely. In the last 10 years, cloud solutions have increased dramatically in terms of performance. Right now, we can actually deal with high level of detail. We can run analysis on the cloud. We have AWS, like all of these different services that can enable us to just run extremely heavy simulations in the cloud. And we use our devices, laptops, mobile phones to look at the data. We don't necessarily need to have all of that powerful computing power in your in our devices, we can leverage the cloud. And that's only happening in the last 10 years. And it's not only that, but also the cost to drive such simulations has reduced dramatically. That's why I really believe right now, absolutely everyone can run such simulations. And this is really something we believed from the early days. You know, we have incentivized our customers to run as many simulations as possible. Although every time they do it, we are paying for them, right? They don't come for free. Even students, they have free access to our software, and we want them to run as many analyses as possible. Because it's only when you go through that iteration loop over and over again, once we have tried a massive solution room, that you are confident that you have not left money out of the table, that you have not left a more sustainable outcome out of our consideration room. And that is really serious. We have a big responsibility. We have the technology, we have the agenda. We cannot ignore global warming anymore. So I just hope that we start all embracing all these new tools, ways of working, and starting this discussion, right? How are we doing this massive shift? We need an incredible investment from all parties, and we need to enable architects and engineers to do so.
Yes, involvement from all parties and getting the conversation going is the only way that we can push that forward. And as you say, you know, the last 10 years, we've had a massive shift in technology, you know, going from maybe mobile phones that you used to type on with buttons to now having a flat screen and things like that, and being able to have technology on site as well, and internet connectivity in much more kind of many more areas, even remote sites. So I think all of that has helped, like you say, with us to be able to look at things from a different perspective. And the more that you say to do with analysis, the more involvement you get for the entire industry, no matter which level they're at. I think that has contributed significantly to the way that we can see that data. And like you say, the more people involved, the more data you get, the more analysis you get out of it. And that's only going to help us move forward to step away from all this and to contribute more to global warming. Great perspective on that. Do you have any key takeaways then for our audience today, or for our listeners today, on in terms of best practice for architects who are looking to go down the route and explore and implement this value-based model that you talk about within your article?
Sure. I think we need to start small. We need to agree on one goal, maybe, that we all want to achieve. Embodied carbon and energy production consumption, I believe, are a great place to start. We have the tools right now to measure them. They are clear enough that we don't need to have a massive discussion around it. And if we start there, rewarding the architects, engineers for the work they are doing to optimize those outcomes, I believe we are already starting with the right foot.
Brilliant. That's really great to hear. You know, that in itself is inspiring me. So I have no idea what to do for our listeners. It's really great stuff. Do you have, so we're getting very close now to the end of this podcast, but I just want to ask you a couple of questions on, you know, the future. So before we get to the future, you know, do you have any specific examples that you'd like to share with us today on value-based models?
So let's now think maybe about football. I'm from Portugal. I love football. Okay. I'm grown up with that. Think about football. The big stars, they have a really comprehensive compensation plan. Things in Europe, for example, is very relevant how many goals one scores. If they go to the Champions League, if they win the Champions League, they would win a really fat bonus. But that's just the outcome, right? That's the end result. But it just aligns the player's interest with the club's interest. But what about how to achieve it, right? That's where we need the technology and the data so that we can develop the players in the right direction. You know, there is like all of these different wearables that players are using right now. They know exactly how many kilometers they run, what was their heartbeat at a certain point. And that just informs them what kind of training they need to do, where their weaknesses and strengths are, and they can evolve as a team, right? I do believe that it's always about understanding holistically what where we want to go and what is the best strategy that serves everyone. And ultimately, we will be able to achieve those end goals. Then we will be in the champions, or we will win the champions. Everyone will be happy. There is a fat big bonus for everyone. But we just need the whole framework to be in place. And I do believe technology and data-driven frameworks are the way to go there.
It's a great perspective to look at it from, you know, football, because everyone can kind of relate to that. Everyone has seen a football match at some point, you know. And the way that, like you say, the data can now drive whether or not someone is running in a loop, you know, how long, stop running in a loop. The data's telling us you're running too much excessively, and by the end of the match, you're burnt out, you know. We need to kind of conserve that energy. And we can relate it to the way that technology works within the architectural industry, because, you know, you've got architects running around doing all sorts of things at the start of the project, but maybe we need to prolong that process. Maybe we need to look at the data, digest it, and then be agile to what the data tell us and redo part of our design moving forward. I really like that kind of perspective of it. Now, on to our last question, Daniel. And it's been a really insightful podcast for me personally, so I'm hoping our listeners as well. Where do you see the future for architectural practices? You know, what's the big goal? What's the big aim? How can we shift and moving forward?
I think the future is all about breaking silos, creating multidisciplinary teams with really broad knowledge, and creating the tools that enable insights to be shared across multiple stakeholders. We need the people with the technical background that can go very deep in a specific topic, but we also need to enable those insights to be shared at a level that everyone is able to understand the why. Why did this building turn up the way it is? And this goes not when it comes to the direct people involved in that project, but also indirectly. The planning authorities, the municipalities, the communities around. I do believe when we have a more transparent and open dialogue, we can create better outcomes. And I really hope that architecture studios are rethinking the way they have been structured so far. I hope that we see the space for more partnerships where we don't think that we need to win this industry alone. We can partner up, we can do more as a team, and we need more knowledge. But we also need a business model that can serve that end. And I would love to invite everyone to read that article, but also to comment it, to start the discussions with their colleagues, because I think that's the right way to go forward. The future is about us. We are accountable to make it happen. And we need that discussion to take place today.
Yes. And the article is available on LinkedIn. Is it available on any other platform?
It's only available in LinkedIn. But let's just start there. And I hope that people take it over, that they write a version 2 or version 3. I don't own this idea. I want this idea to be explored, to be taken apart, to evolve, but we just need to make it happen.
Absolutely. And everyone has a duty in this. Everyone needs to get involved. I love that. You know, break the boundaries, open up the doors, bring everyone to the table. Let's all get involved. And it's, you know, no idea is a final idea. We are continually developing, and we have to stay agile to the climate, the market, and the way that the industry is heading. Really great points. Do you have any final comments or thoughts that you want to leave our listeners with today?
I define myself as a pragmatic dreamer, and I would love to see more of that in the industry. We have so many challenges, but I also believe we are living in a very special moment. We have a massive opportunity just in front of us, and we need to take the risk to seize it. That's what I would love people to think about. How in this moment where we have generative design, we have so many new things happening, how can we seize this opportunity for a better outcome?
Incredible. Capture the moment, grab what you've got. Technology is there, technology is key, and just kind of utilize what has been developed. Everything's been developed to this stage for a purpose, and now it's up to us to take it on board. We are all responsible, as you said within the podcast. You know, the more kind of duties we have, the more responsibility we get, and we are responsible for the future generations. We need to make sure we're leaving a better planet for the next generation and those that follow. So I think it's incredible insight and very, very incredibly inspirational, Daniel, for me to listen to. So the article that we've been discussing today is Redefining Architectural Business Models for a Sustainable Future. I really would like to thank you for your time and for coming all the way from Oslo to London to do this podcast together. And it's been an incredible journey for me, and I hope it has been for you as well.
It has been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Daniel. I look forward to see you all in the next podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.